Well, here we are. It's the news, according to me. Oh, what a crazy circus it has been last weekend. Crazy times, good times, good times. It's crazy, crazy good times, good crazy times, whatever they are. Welcome to Mishmash Monday, folks. Welcome. It's Monday, May 12th, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am in the home studio. This is not live. It's being recorded live. I'm live right now. I'm just recording it. The show is what it is. I have at my feet my little puppy, my little 12-month-old 90-pound puppy. He's chewing on the leg of a cow, I think, right now. Some kind of bone thing he's chewing on. Welcome. Glad you're here. Call the show. Call or text in, because I have a lot of opinions. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. But I do have a lot of opinions about stuff. And this is called Mishmash Monday because it's just kind of, I mash on the recording button before I mish anything in my mind. I have a few ideas of what I want to talk about because a lot of things have been going on. But there's no real, basically what I'm going to talk about is the things I'm going to be doing throughout the shows this coming week, because I will be having a show every day, hoping to have a show Thursday morning. Again, why is it Thursday mornings are always kind of sketchy? If I do have a show Thursday morning, it will be early in the day. Early in the day, because I have an appointment that's an hour away. I have to be there an hour early, and it's appointments at 9:30. So I've got to be there at 8:30, at least 8 or 8:30, which means I got to leave here at 7, which means I got to do the show at about 5:30 in the morning, which is not impossible for me, because the dogs usually get me up around 5. I'm seriously thinking about taking them to daycare, or at least one of them, the nuisance one. I'm not going to tell you which one that is. I'll let you figure that out. My wife is unable to handle the larger dog right now because she's on the mend, and she's just not able to take care of both of them. The smaller, older dog, pretty docile, pretty easy to take care of, basically. Just got to open the door, let him out, let him back in, pet him once in a while. That's about it. The younger dog, let's just say a lot more energy. So I have a lot going on Thursday. So, but other than that, tomorrow there'll be a little bit more topical tomorrow, and I hopefully we'll have a lot more audio to talk about, because I want to talk about the things I'm going to talk about. Basically, Monday's the days I talk about the things I'm going to talk about. That's what it's become. That's what we're trying to get out of this. Now, at some point this week, again, hoping to have a live broadcast in the next month or so, there will be a regular live show, probably once a week. And I don't know what day that's going to be yet to kind of work that out. But over the next month and a half or so, there will be a weekly live show. And it's probably going to be on Rumble as well. So it's going to be a video. That's the plan, is to have a video, and then that way I can play video clips of things and be able to do all that stuff. So that's what you have here, folks. Now, you can call on the show, 812-379-8778. You can also text the show, but if you call in, you can leave a message. It goes right to voicemail. It is a Google Voice thing. That's free. And if you don't have if you're from another country, you can still call in. It's you just go to googlevoice.com or google.com/voice, google.com/voice, and you punch in that number, 812-379-8778, and you can leave a voicemail. Now, what the beauty of the voicemail, or the idea behind the voicemail thing, is that I can play that voicemail. And then I can, we can have like a dialogue, kind of, what do they call it? In absentia. I think that's, I'm not a lawyer, but I think that's the term. I'm not an English teacher. Not a I'm not a thesaurus. I used to write a thesaurus to school back when I was a kid. Or not, maybe it was a rhinosaurus. I don't know. It was something. Triceratops or whatever those things are. I have 312-7379-8778. In my cup, I have a chai with the Almond Joy creamer. The backup cup, I didn't think I was going to have a backup cup today. I just got very little tea left over from my sweet tea, homemade sweet tea, which is also mixed with a little bit of Chick-fil-A tea. And now it is mostly Joe peach tea in there. So there's a kind of a, I have mutt tea. So what it is, it's a mutt conglomeration of a lot of different kinds of teas as my backup cup. So we'll see how all this goes with all this stuff here. But a couple things on my agenda. One of the things that is just kind of popping out on me is this whole Letitia James thing. Tomorrow we're going to analyze her voice. I'm going to play some clips of her talking. This is a woman who is in panic, severe panic mode right now. She's not having a discussion with anybody, and she's trying to include everybody with her in the supposed attacks that are coming at her from the DOJ with the allegations of her having committed bank fraud as well as real estate fraud. It's pretty rich, really, for these people. You have to realize, when they start accusing you of something, when they start accusing anybody of anything, really, take a look at them and see what they're doing, because they're either doing it or that's what they would have done, but that's typically what they're doing. And lo and behold, she was defrauding the bank by giving false information to get a loan or whatever it was, or a better rate on a loan, whatever it was. This was all about her and herself. This wasn't about her doing business with the bank. This was about her being able to get the house she wanted, which includes apparently saying that her father was her husband. Now, we're going to analyze her voice in her. She's going around. She's making speeches somewhere. I don't know. Who's going to listen to this lady? Is she drawing crowds somewhere? I have the feeling she's. I'm sure it's a Democrat. If there is a crowd there, that's just for her. It's the Democrats hired these people to be. I mean, they're Democrat operatives. Let's put it that way. They're the people that they call in all the time to go, hey, we've got a thing here, a thing there. Let's bust some people over there. It's all AstroTurf. I never even heard that term until it came from the Democrats accusing the Republicans of this. I think it was during the Tea Party movement. It's all AstroTurf. This isn't really grassroots. This is all AstroTurf. First time I ever heard of that. And of course, the reason I heard of it was, of course, the reason they came up with it was because that's what they were doing. They did that very thing. They were doing that very thing back in 2007, 2006. They were the purveyors of AstroTurf, which is it's instead of being grassroots, it's actually them coming up with a group of people. They're leading a group of people to do something called grassroots. You know, it's not just people rising up. And of course, the leftists, their heads are popping off. They just can't continue to go crazy. And now you've got this mayor of, I think it's, is it mayor of Newark, New Jersey, who gets arrested because they're trying to break into an ICE facility, detention facility. We'll get into that more in a little bit. But this whole Letitia James thing. She, what's interesting about it is her, how she's going out in this campaign now of saying these, you know, she was asked a question by Jen Psaki the other day. I'll be playing that tomorrow. Of course, now Jen Psaki is very careful that I don't want to give any kind of credibility to this investigation, but there's this investigation about you doing this or whatever. And of course, she's blinking a million times a second as she's trying to respond to this. Saying these allegations are baseless, and she can just tell the tension in her voice is palpable. It is. This is a woman in panic. This is somebody who's drowning. And we'll go over it tomorrow and talk about how she's talking, especially when she talks in public. And the things that she's saying and the way, not just the way she's saying it. We're going to talk about the actual words she's using. Because, I'm not an expert necessarily, but I do understand word crafting and I do, I read a lot of scripts for voiceover work. And you know when a script is good and when it flows properly and when it's normal and natural and what comes out of a person speaking weird things, it you can tell when they're interjecting other things into what they're saying. It's not natural, normal speech. As well as just the whole idea of the tension in the voice, all the other things. If I'm a voice coach, I've been directed a lot by a lot of people doing voiceover work, and they'll say it needs to have more of a relaxed tone, it needs to have this or that, it needs to have more tension, it needs to be darker, it needs to be more bright. All of those things are things that you can execute. You have to be very much aware of how you're speaking and what's going on with your voice, kind of an in touch with yourself kind of thing. And that's a big part of being able to analyze those things, because then when you start doing coaching, when you're coaching someone else, you have to have the ability to get them in the right on the right rail, so they're moving down the track in the proper and what the director wants. A very large percentage of doing voiceover work is not just being able to have a nice voice. I've heard a lot of people have said to me, they said, well, everybody tells me I have a nice voice. I should probably get into the voiceover work. Okay. Well, that's about 40% of it. Having a good voice is about 40% of it. If that, you could arguably say to be successful, it's even less than that. There are people who have awesome voices and can hardly make a living. It's just a part-time job for them to be able to do voiceover work. Now there are contracts out there when you start getting into the higher levels of things that they pay you multiple thousands of dollars to do certain ads, or they what they do is your recording session might be $500. The buyout for a year's worth of use of that might be in the, well, so some of them are tens of thousands of dollars. I've never experienced that yet. But there are some out there that they'll pay you for every year that they use it. They'll sign a new contract every year, and it's thousands of dollars. It's a good gig. I swallowed wrong. What's funny about that is I'm talking about voiceover stuff. Anyway, that's why I started choking. I actually started laughing, which made it worse. So anyway, time for a swig of Joe T. There we go. All right, back to normal. The interesting part of that is now we're going to talk about Ilhan Omar is a prime example of something she's been saying lately. She's back in the news. She said some things back in 2018, and it wasn't the "some people did something." It wasn't that statement she made. It was something she made after that. She was trying to cover up for something else. Now she's coming back, and of course, there's people that have pulled this thing out that she said 7 years ago. And they're saying that because she came out, she was asked about some of those statements that she made, and she's doubling down. She basically is saying that white men are more of a terrorist. We should be more concerned about white men being terrorists than. And this is across the board. You're hearing this from not just Ilhan Omar. This is another talking point that the left is trying to get out there. White men are dangerous. The Republicans are the ones of the. I just heard, I think was it AOC or somebody else? Somebody else just said this recently, that the Republican Party, they're the ones they're the violent ones. It was Jasmine Crockett who was talking about this. going into her little tirade. Of course, she has to do the whole ghetto thing. And she was talking about how, you know, look, baby, whatever she says. The white men are the one, the Republicans. She didn't say white men. She just says Republicans, which when she, that's code. That's a dog whistling. That's what they would call it. Dog whistling. Coding. That's code for white men. Are the ones of, you know, the KKK and white supremacists and Jim Crow and all this other stuff. Apparently, history has nothing to do with this woman's brain. Because she has no idea. Jim Crow was a Democrat. The KKK was started by the Democrats. The Democrat Party, after the Civil War, the KKK was spawned out of that as an underground group of white supremacists, and they were Democrats. Today, if you talk to the head of the KKK or any kind of neo-Nazi white supremacist group, there's several of them out there. The main one, I can't think of the guy's name right now. He has blatantly said he's not a Trump supporter. He doesn't care. He's kind of a apolitical kind of guy, but he doesn't support Donald Trump. Now some of the leaders have come out and said that they support Donald Trump, or that they're going to vote for Donald Trump. Well, whatever it is, but they don't see him as a white supremacist, as one of their own. They just don't see it that way. And yet the left would have you to believe he runs the show. And I heard somebody that said the Proud Boys, they included the Proud Boys right along with KKK. Folks, the Proud Boys, I think, I don't know much about the organization. Of course, then the Oath Keepers too as well. The Oath Keepers have nothing to do with white supremacy or anything like that. But they have done a very bad job on PR, in my opinion. Because they've not pushed back against any of the allegations against them. The Proud Boys, I don't know much about them, but all I know is they are not, they're about, I think it's 30 to 40% of them are minorities. They're not white supremacists. You can't, you don't see a lot of black people in white supremacist groups. You don't see a lot of South Americans and Mexicans. And that's what we have. And it's just bizarre that they even try to get away with that. But people don't know that much about them because they're not out there. They're not vocal. They're not out in the public giving speeches to the public all the time. The news media won't interview anybody of them. It's just the guy who started it wasn't even he's from South America. It's like Cuban or something. I don't know. It's bizarre what the left gets away with this stuff all the time. And of course, there are some members of Congress now who are being apparently going to potentially be arrested because of what they did at this detention facility in Newark, because they were trying to arrest the mayor. The mayor was trespassing. Now, there's a way of going about that. They have the right to oversee and observe what's going on at a detention facility. At a detention facility. Yeah, I can talk. However, you can't just walk in. Because I'm a congressman, you can't treat, I'm here to, they're not the boss. Okay, they're representatives. They can go in, but they have to do the proper paperwork. They have to make sure the area is secure. They have to, there's all kinds of things you have to do to get in. Byron Donalds talked about how he went to, I think it was Byron Donalds. He went to a detention facility one time down the border to see what was happening there. So during the Biden administration. It took him about 2 hours to get, to get in and everything, and to get everything done, to get everything, properly filed and all that stuff. But he was able to go in and do his observations. And that's the way it's done. You do it orderly. You do it lawfully. You do it the proper way. You have the right to oversight. That doesn't mean you can just walk in, do anything you want to. Obviously, when they say no one's above the law, all they mean is Donald Trump is not above the law. You should hear, when people start saying, how dare you touch a U.S. congressman? These are people who have way too much self-aggrandized, personal importance. They think that they are somebody, and by golly, they can get away with anything because they're a congressman. You don't hear them walking around saying, well, no one's above the law. That was, you know, we were hearing that for 4 years. That's all we heard about. No one is above the law. Except, unless your name is Letitia James or you're a Democrat congressman. Yeah, that's kind of the way things are working out, at least at this point. So the statements that they're making, if you just flip around the, you just unplug all the issues that they're having and you plug them back in and make it the other direction. So say they were talking about Republicans. If it was Democrats talking about Republicans, it would be the totally the opposite. And this is very common, because I do want to talk about the Carmelo case down in Texas, where the young man stabbed another student at some kind of a track meet or whatever it was. It's been all kinds of different reports. And just the hypocrisy that is there in terms of how people, are treated, what the things that people say, how dare this man, the father of this man whose son was killed, how dare he show up at this public event? How disrespectful. Just shows you what kind of character he has. How dare he forgive this, how dare he show up to have, show solidarity and speak to the community? How dare he? So he was asked to leave, and he did leave, after he stabbed everybody, I guess. Apparently that's the way you do that. The woman on the playground who used the N-word to say something about a young child. He's not a baby. He's at least 12 years old. And of course, everybody's now they're claiming he's autistic. I don't know that he's autistic or not. Everybody's autistic, apparently. I don't know. But, suppose this kid was a small baby. It's just a 5-year-old child that was autistic. She called him a name. I don't think he was. Pictures I've seen him. He's a lot larger than some of the pictures that they were initially putting out. He's like 12 years old. Apparently, I don't know. He's much older than what they're saying. And now I don't condone what she called him. I don't condone the way she handled the situation. However, what we're seeing here, and I've talked about this whole race war thing. We are at a point in our society right now where we may not be in a kinetic war necessarily. In some cases it is. But I want to talk about the attitude that's out there that is represented in the Carmelo case and as well as the case with this woman, this young lady who used the N-word. I can't say the word because, I don't know why I can't say the word. That's childish to me that we can't use words that just for what they are. In context, I'm not calling anybody that name. I'm just the word itself is apparently so offensive that nobody can say it. You can say the F word all day long. I'd probably get more popular doing that. That's more disgusting, in my opinion, or just as disgusting. I don't know how to say it. And there's this conversation that Pierce Morgan has with this one woman who they knew full well going in that she was apparently more of a white supremacist, or has no problem being called one anyway. But it is, this is the This is the beginnings of how war begins. So it is a societal, right now it's a, initially it was kind of an informational war. Now it is actually now, it is becoming more of a, people are getting involved with their dollars. The money that's been raised for the Carmelo family is not just for their legal defense, obviously. It's just random funds to get to them. And the other, you know, the other places where money's going, it's just, there's obviously a strong backing. And of course, when you donate, then you can, the reason that they have the donations is because people want to comment. So they might even just donate $5 just so they can write a comment on the, on their little page. That's part of the motivation for people being able to donate. And then, of course, they took down the comments, I think, for the one lady. It's just bizarre, weird how they do stuff like that. They took the managed stuff, that they just manipulate stuff. But it's, you know, the whole thing the justification, some of the things that are said, the general attitude. We're going to cover some of those things this week. About some of those issues. Ilhan Omar, I want to talk about her. She had a sit-down interview, and I want to talk about some of the things she says and the way she says them. We're going to voice analyze some people this week and see how that goes, because there are some people who are saying some things that are just, you know, off the charts, ridiculous. And then we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with ICE and detentions and Donald Trump and the tariff war. Now, of course, the left was telling us that everything's going to collapse because, oh, China's so powerful and China. China's not backing down. Oh, our supply chain's got to be, price of eggs. China basically is at the negotiation table in Switzerland, I believe. Might have been Sweden. Sweden, or one of those places over there in Europe, kind of neutral ground. They apparently talked with now, China's government's weird. So you kind of have to take all this with a grain of salt, because they think that they have a trade agreement going on. There are factions of the Chinese government. You know, you might think that Xi Jinping, if I'm pronouncing his name properly, you know, rules the whole thing. And it's not really the case. He wields a lot of power in part of the government. Now, there's the military side of the government as well. Military leaders and some of the oligarchs who are there, they have, you want to talk about an oligarchy. Socialism, democratic socialism is rampant with oligarchs. The reason that Ukraine and Romania and some other countries out there, the reason that some of those countries have had so much corruption is because of the oligarchy that happened. That oligarchy formed under the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union, when you have a socialized government, the people at the top are the ones who decide who will make it or break it. Who's going to? They decide who the companies are, who the people are. They get rewarded for certain things and this and that. And with just family members, whoever you are, you kiss the ring of the apparent leader, the benevolent leader. And the next thing you know, you have the contracts to do certain things, and you can make a certain amount of money, and you can do all this. You get paid better, and you can start your business. You can do some certain things that, or they tell you what business to be in, whatever you're going to do. But they put you in charge of things, and pay you accordingly. Next thing you know, you're making all this money, and you become an oligarch, and you're beholden to that leadership. This is why Putin has been in office for so long, because he makes and breaks people, and he chooses these oligarchs that he knows will be puppets. However, sometimes they go rogue sometimes. and they start to turn on the benevolent leader. But it's ironic, and think about this. This is, again, think about what is AOC and Bernie Sanders out there doing right now? They have a campaign against the oligarchy. Nobody cares about the oligarchy. No, no. 90% of the Democrat base has no idea what an oligarch even is. Or they've never heard of it until Bernie Sanders went out and started printing banners and making signs and having these little rallies, which are burning out very quickly, but burning out very quickly. They went to all their major hubs where all their people are, and now they're finding that outside of the blue cities, where they can draw a crowd or they can bus people in, they're getting no traction on that whatsoever. No, nobody cares about the oligarchs. It's the middle class in this country still runs the show, whether you like it or not. And of course, the Democrats now are coming out against the white man in the United States. They're vilifying the white man again, and basically saying there's nothing good can happen from this guy. You know, he's the problem. James Carville, over the last weekend, came out and started just roasting the leftist, I say radical leftist movement in the country, the David Hoggs and everybody else that's out there right now. What's the guy's name? Harry Sisson. Roasting them because they're doubling down on all the stuff that got them in trouble to begin with. People don't care to hear all the stuff slammed down their throat. This whole thing about just whatever it is, all the creepy, weird fringe stuff that people view it that way. It's like, you know, we just don't want to be bothered by that. We don't want to be told that we have to do something for the LGBTQ movement. We don't want to be told that we have to do something for the whatever it is, the flavor of the day, social construct issue. And we're tired of it. It's lost traction. In this last election, of course, now they're saying, well, he didn't win by that much. You know, he won all the swing states, but that was close in all the swing states. No, the point is he won all the swing states and he won the popular vote. That's the whole thing, which hasn't happened since 2004. It's happened. It's been 20 years since that's happened, and it happened. And don't tell me, Joe, that you think you could have won. The only reason Kamala didn't win is because, you know, they put on such a great campaign against, you know, the fact that she was a woman of mixed race. Everything's about gender and race with these people. Everything. And that's also wearing thin with us, I think, with most of us now. You know, we want to see some principles, some founding principles. We want to see those restored and, you know, built into a more perfect union. Let's improve upon those things, not just take them away. These are the people who scream and shout about the Constitution, how much they, you know, oh, there's a constitutional crisis. Oh, this constitutional guy. Oh, he's not upholding his constitutional. That's unconstitutional. And then turn around and tell, which amendment is your favorite over there on the left, by the way? Do you have one? I mean, besides the Second Amendment, we know that Second Amendment, because their favorite amendments are the ones they want to pick on. Those are their favorite amendments are the pick on amendments. They want to abolish them. I'm starting to sound like Joe Biden. I'm going to set up an entire tray of just Joe Biden stuff, recent stuff, by the way. I've got a bunch of his stuff on here, but I'm going to go with Joe Biden. Who's the other guy? Joe Scarborough. Why are all these Joes? Dan Goldman, who's been out in the public sphere again in the recent week. I'll have some audio of him this week because he was making some comments and some statements about some things. These are the people who say, you know, You have the right to speech, but you don't have the right to illegal speech. You know, free speech, you have the right to free speech, but not illegal speech. Excuse me. Show me on the books what speech is not legal, please. What is the illegal speech you speak of? The actual words. I'm talking about words. If I'm quoting someone who does something, who says something, who incited a riot, if I quote them, I'm not inciting a riot. I'm just quoting what that person said. That's actually the right to freely be able to say what they said, to quote them. That's the right to free speech. If I'm out inciting a riot with a violent riot, there's no particular words I would use to make that happen. You'll know it when I use them. And it's not peacefully and patriotically protest. That's not inciting a riot, folks. By the way, there's a committee right now that's looking into the weaponization of the illegal stuff that took place against Donald Trump with this whole Letitia James thing. It's being taken apart at the seams. There's no underlying crime. Now, the misdemeanor by which they are charging him for, by the way, there's three or four different misdemeanors that they're charging him with, all of which expired under the one-year statute of limitations, which would have, I think this was back in 2014? Something like that he did this deal with this bank. It's before the election, even. They had to redo some. They had to be an underlying crime, a felony that they had to go after because I guess there's no statute of limitations on felonies or something. I don't know, in New York. So they came after this. There had to be an underlying felony. Well, they never listed one. There was never any underlying felony there. They're just saying fraud, fraud basically, and. And Letitia had several counts of fraud that she was at the time she was making, at the time she was running for Attorney General of New York. That's when all this stuff happened. Unbelievable. The other issue with Letitia James is that she has to have residence in the state of New York or she can't be the AG. If you don't live in New York, you're disqualifying yourself. I don't know if they're just going to fine her or what they're doing. So now the state of New York, Hochul, Governor Hochul, who stepped in under Cuomo. She was the lieutenant governor. She's the governor. She has stepped in. Now there's some kind. They've passed some kind of legislation now in New York, establishing a fund, taxpayer. Supplied fund to settle personal legal needs of any of the staff in the state department, the New York State, like Letitia James, who needs a lawyer to pay for a lawyer for her. Why doesn't she just use the funds coming from Donald Trump's lawsuit that is $350 million, whatever it is? Well, there's a reason, because that lawsuit's going to fall flat on its face here very shortly. And the other thing is that they have to establish a slush fund. It's a legal slush fund, basically, for the use of Letitia James to hire these highfalutin lawyers to fight off Trump's vindictive allegations that are baseless. This whole circus has just gotten out of control. I'll play James Carville. He made some more comments about the left and how crazy. He's saying basically that these radical leftists should just go off and start their own parties. Speaking of Ilhan Omar, by the way, he's actually commenting to some statements she made, but he was talking, he kind of swooped a bunch of other people into it when he said they should all just go off and start their own party. And maybe we can caucus together or whatever it was. So he's basically saying that, he just get out of here. He doesn't want all this. He doesn't like the radical crap. He knows that's what's losing the elections. And people are tired of they're standing up right now. This whole thing with the ICE detention facilities. It's not just like they're going in and just swooping in and taking everybody out. That's not happening. They're doing everything according to the law. And right now, most of the people they're sweeping out, most of them, the vast majority, 99.9% of them, are gang members and criminals. And these are the people that they've decided to stand up for. I need to remind you, during the Barack Obama administration, there were many more deportations happening around the country. And I don't recall these people, you know, outraged about any of that. Of course, they keep talking about due process. You have to have due process. Well, they didn't have due process coming in. Now, if they want a due process, leave the country, get your due process. We'll still have a court date for you. Come back to court. Just leave. Now, I think it's brilliant what the Trump administration has done. And what they're basically doing, it was going to cost, was it 17? I think it was $17,000 or something. I think it was for each deportation was going to cost $17,000. I'm probably off on the numbers. So don't quote me on the numbers, but I'm just giving you relative numbers here. Whatever they were. Maybe it was $40,000. I don't remember what it was. It was some ridiculous amount of money. So for each individual, what the cost was going to be on average to go, you know, detain someone, get them arrested, detained, put them into transportation and get them out of the country. I think for the, you know, housing and everything else that was going to be involved in all that, I think the initial cost, let's say it was $20,000, whatever it was. Well, now what they're doing is they're saying you can deport yourself. All you have to do is, you know, you apply for self-deportation. You're going to leave the country. And this what's brilliant about this is the ramifications of what's going to happen afterwards. We will pay you. We'll buy you a plane ticket to anywhere if you want to go back to your country, wherever you want to go. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here, kind of thing. We'll pay for the ticket, get you out of the country. Even give you, I think, $1,000 of a stipend or whatever on top of everything. Just for, you know, incidentals. And just kind of basically paying you off until you get out of the country. And for a lot of people, $1,000 when they go to their home, they can live off that for 6 months. Some countries. They're sending them back. And by doing so, you basically get put on the list for being processed back into the country in good standing. I think this is open, honest, and fair. Of course, the Democrats are, wow, this is costing us too much more paying people now to leave. No, it's costing us more to have them here. Well, they bring in $70 billion into our economy, and they cost $200 billion in a year in our economy. You mentioned these big numbers that make it sound, oh, look at they're contributing $70 billion. Well, it's because it's costing us so much money to have them here. Rather than costing, you know, whatever it is, $20,000 a piece, it's like it cuts it almost in half, I think. It's like $8,000 or $10,000 to get them out of the country. Maybe less than that. Maybe it's less than that. To do it this way, just on average, each one is, it's like $8,000 to get them out of the country, pay them and get them on their way and buy them a plane ticket, the whole thing. Maybe it's $4,000. I can't remember what it is. There's a huge difference. Saving us all kinds of money, let alone time. And these folks are basically being saved the problem of never being able to, you're going to get caught. You know, at some point you're going to get deported. And if ICE has to do it for you, you won't have an opportunity to come back in. You're going to be out and you're done. You want to come back? Then yeah. Deport yourself. I mean, talk about, this just takes so much of the danger away from, and the organization, the chaos that would happen. Of course, now the Democrats are hitting their head against the wall right now because of the brilliance of this whole, when Trump does something like this, it's like, well, no, you can't do that. They can't find a reason, but they, no, you just can't do that. Can't pay people to leave. They're just mad because they didn't think of it. And they continue to blame the Republicans about the, well, we had a bill, you know, we had an immigration reform bill that, you know, the Republicans shot it down because Donald Trump called everybody and told them that they have to vote it down because this is a good piece of legislation that's going to make me look bad. I'm not going to get reelected if we pass this legislation. That's not what, first of all, when the Democrats, you have to understand, when the Democrats start talking about immigration reform, they're not talking about, well, we need immigration reform because we can fix this border problem. Their method, and they were trying to get it into place, their method of fixing the border problem is more border agents to process everybody coming across the border. They're not talking about limiting immigration or slowing it down. They're talking about increasing it. Basically, anybody who wants to come across the border can come across the border. We just need the things in place. That's really what the bill was about, that they were trying. And the bill had about 30% to do with the border and about 70% to do with Ukraine, by the way. And to call it a border bill. It's ridiculous. By the way, there's two bills right now. I think one is called the loss of hearing. It was a hearing loss bill and the Shorts bill, I think is the two that are out there. This is more about gun laws, but they're in committee right now. And I don't know that there's any, I don't think I have any representatives that are actually in the committee. They're talking about this bill dying in committee because Republicans are shooting it down. It's a Republican-led committee. The Shorts bill is the short barrel rifle law, which I think it's just, you know, unconstitutional in of itself. Now, again, I'm not a lawyer, but there's this thing called the Bruin decision, which is kind of like the Roe v. Wade kind of thing in the gun world, where Bruin came out with this SCOTUS ruling that basically everybody quotes and everybody gets, that sets the precedent for a lot of things. And one of the things in there is unusual firearm, whatever it is. So what? What if it doesn't? The Constitution doesn't say anything about unusual firearms. They've made this stuff up out of a construct off of something else. And this is typical when you get a precedent that they want to build on rather than going back to the original intent. In other words, being a constructionist constitutional lawyer or scholar or judge, rather than being, so they want to base things on prior precedent, which is all well and good if that precedent was initially built on the constructionist mentality. In other words, why that amendment was there, what was the intent of it originally. There's a lot of regulations out there. They have these things called what they call the P pages, which are the proposal pages. Whenever you see a government regulation like CFR, whatever it is, 91.15, whatever, in those regulations, when they first submit those regulations, they have what's called a proposal for that regulation. And that proposal has a lot of words. It's usually about five or six times longer because there's a lot more explanation of exactly what the intent of that is. So the lawyers look at that and they whittle it down so that it's not such a long paragraph or whatever, so that they can put it all in legalese and make it work. Well, the problem is that the general public who reads that may not quite, they may misinterpret what the intent was because they don't understand what the word and is or what the word may or shall. Are two different words that are pretty powerful, like a may issue state or a shall issue state when it comes to permits. So these kinds of things are, people don't understand that the differences, the nuance within that. So look at a regulation, of course, then they give the agency overseeing that regulation, whether it's alcohol, tobacco, or firearms, or maybe it's the FAA, or whatever it is, they give them all kinds of leeway to enforce that regulation. Since there's this regulation on this, then you guys can do whatever you want. You can just kind of make up stuff for you. Give you discretion to say say this or that, like bump stocks, whatever it is. And so then the ATF steps in and they make all their stuff. This new rule basically takes the short barrel rifle thing away. And also takes the Suppressors Act There's a $200 suppressor. It costs a huge amount of money to buy a suppressor, which is, there's like a $200 tax stamp that you have to have for each suppressor that you own. Suppressors aren't silencers. And they're not silencers, and they're not just used by assassins to make your bullets quiet. Whisper quiet. Just go. You see them in the movies. Like, that's all it is. And it's not just an assassin's tool, which is what the movie, they're so blatantly just manipulated by what they've seen in the movies when it comes to gun rules and gun laws and everything else that's out there. They're so ignorant. Our representatives are very ignorant typically on gun stuff like that. Or they just have to go along with whatever popular opinion is in particular. And it's very annoying. Had some neighbors here recently that were, I guess they were neighbors. Somebody's on the property next to me. Now there's a little bitty tree line, kind of a woods between me and the other property on the other side. And they were apparently set up to do some shooting right across the property line there. And it was like they were shooting in my backyard. I mean, it was loud and it was very obnoxious. It was in the evening. And I was concerned. I'm all for people going out shooting their property. I have no problem with that whatsoever. The proximity of this thing was concerning me. I think I said something about this on the show a while back. We're sitting down to eat dinner, and all of a sudden, just bam, 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 bam. Sounded like it was in my backyard. And so I ended up going out on the patio area. And I said, "Hey, there's houses right over here." And the guy's response was quite alarming. Actually, kind of upset me quite a bit. He cussed, used a cuss word, and then he said, "This is, you know, my own effing property." And then, bam, 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 shot three or four more times. Well, it's not a discussion anymore. Now you just escalated it to whatever. Now they didn't shoot anymore after that. They shot a few more times and they didn't shoot anymore after that. And I haven't heard them since. That's fine. What bothers me is the way it was left. I would have much rather had a conversation with them and said, "I just want to see what you guys are doing over here. Do you have something that's, you know, trapping your bullets? I want to know that there's not going to be a bullet ricocheting off something that you're shooting at and flying over here in my house and hitting my dog or hitting me or, you know, some family member or somebody else or just destroying popper and going through a window, whatever. I don't know what you're doing over there. As far as I know, you're just shooting into a tree. I have no idea what you're doing over there." I did call the police and just ask them, or make sure they weren't violating any kind of laws or anything like that. There is a curfew style. It's a ordinance for not being able to shoot after a certain hour. I think it's 11 o'clock at night or whatever it is in a residential area. So I don't know if they were talked to by the police or not. I have no idea. But I doubt it because it's in the middle of a. But and again, I will stand up for their right to shoot guns on their property all day long. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But when it comes to being dangerous, I'm more concerned about them and their liability. I would hate for them to go get into a situation where now all of a sudden the bullet has left your property and done some damage somewhere else, regardless of even whether it damages anything else. If the bullet leaves your property, you've committed a crime. If you're shooting from your property off your property without permission, that's a problem. Hunters a lot of times don't realize that they have permission to hunt on somebody's property. And they're out there shooting around at some animal, and they're. If it's off on the horizon and you're shooting and it goes off into somebody else's property, guess what? They're never going to find the bullet. They don't have any proof of it, whatever. But it is a pretty legitimate problem. Now, an arrow does not have that issue. I don't know why. But bullets are that way. In I'm not a lawyer. And certain counties have different rules and different states have different rules. But yeah, There you go. There's all that. So I so this is Mesh Mash Monday. Again, 812-379-8778. Let me know what you think about all my opinions and what and maybe give some things you want me to bring up on the show and talk about and have discussions on. And feel free to call, leave a message, let me know what you're thinking, or ask me a question, what I think about something, or tell me what you think, and I will refute what you think and tell you why you're wrong. No, the 812-379-8778, we'll have an open discussion there. And you can text in, and I'll just read your text if that's what you want to do. But the nice thing about the voicemail thing is I can play your voicemail online if you prefer. If you don't want me to do that, that's fine. You can leave a message and you say, yeah, I don't want this to go on the air, just, but you can comment, you can, you know, quote me and, you know, whatever. Whatever you want to do there. I totally will respect your, you know, your right to, well, your request, say, for me to not put it on the show. But I can read whatever. Or just want to make a comment. I'll say, hey, some people make comments about this. Whatever it is. There you have it. So that's all I've got to say. The like I said, tomorrow morning, probably going to have, I'm hoping to have a live show either tomorrow morning or Wednesday morning. Kind of depends on what's going on with some things with the boat. I've got to get the boat in on Thursday morning. That's my biggest obstacle. So in the process of getting that thing done, I got to get the bottom's got to be painted and some of the things got to be done before it goes in the water. So I've got to get that done. And hopefully in the process of all that, I will be able to get a live broadcast in at the very latest on Friday. However, once I get the boat in the water, I've only got a few days to get it out of that marina and moved over to my other marina where I keep it for the summer. So I might have to, we'll see how that goes. Let's, anyway, that's all I got to say about that. God bless. Have a great rest of your week. Thanks for listening. 812-379-8778. See ya.